Italian Wine Podcast. Cin Cin with Italian Wine People.
This podcast is brought to you by Native Grape Odyssey. Native Grape Odyssey is an educational project financed by the European Union to promote European wine in Canada, Japan, and Russia. Enjoy. It's from Europe.
Hello, this is the Italian Wine Podcast with me, Monty Ward. My guest today is Angelo Minelli. Angelo is a wine specialist at winesearcher.com. Where are you based then, for Wine Searcher?
Wine Searcher is based in Auckland.
In Auckland, in New Zealand?
New Zealand, yes. Actually, Wine Searcher was created in London in 1998. Martin Brown is the owner and the founder. After a few years, actually he's Kiwi, he moved in Auckland and he established business over there. Actually, a few months ago, we are pretty excited because we opened a new office in London just to be more close to our customer here in Europe. So we are in Auckland and in London.
So where do you spend most of your time?
Most of my time is in Auckland. I live in New Zealand. Pretty much 4 months in New Zealand, 2 months in Italy.
Because where are you from in Italy?
I'm from Lombardy. I'm from Franciacorta. So my family has a business there. We own 12 hectares of vineyard. So I'm in Italy a couple of times a year just to manage my business and manage my little vineyard.
Are you extra careful when you're writing the description of Franciacorta wines for Wine Searcher?
Absolutely. I keep an eye. I have the privilege to work with 55 people, almost 60 people, really knowledgeable people. They have a different background, IT, excellent writer, master of wine, and I have wine specialist. I'm the only Italian wine there, so I keep an eye, of course, for the Italian product for Franciacorta.
So how does Wine Searcher work?
It's pretty easy. You can have a website or an app. So mainly you just type a keyword, can be a producer name, can be a grape variety, can be a wine style, and you set up a search, so you get result. The result give you actually the location where you can find the product.
So if I'm, obvious question, I'm sitting at home in London and I want to wine search Brunello di Montalcino, for example, or even a particular winery. I just type that in and it's going to tell me where my nearest retailers are?
Exactly, yeah. Actually, you can have two possibilities. One is type, second is scan the label. Maybe you already drink that wine and you particularly enjoy, so you can just scan and you have directly the information that you need.
So are you talking about a QR code or just the normal one?
No. You just scan the label of the bottle and so you get the information that you need. And that is really cool. But otherwise, you can just type the keyword, the wine producer, and you can apply some filter. So you can, if you are in London, you can just see around UK where you can find, or maybe if you are traveling, maybe you are in Italy, so you can switch in a different country, the location, and you can find different results.
If I'm a wine producer and I want to put my wine is called Chateau Monti, how do I get it listed on Wine Searcher? Do I have to pay?
Actually, we have merchant, so we have wine shop that they list their wine, and they tell us when they become our sponsor the list of the wine that they have. So actually, those products are in our database.
So they pay a fee to be registered?
Exactly, yeah.
And it's up to them to supply you with the right information.
Exactly. So, when I create a wine or when I have a wine in a database, is the job of the wine specialist to check that every information is right. The denomination, for example, is right. The grape variety, the style. So we are in charge to maintain it, to implement the database according to the website, from the producer website, actually.
So you also have to do a lot of double checking then?
Absolutely, yes. Even because you need to consider that most of the winery, sometimes they stop the production of a product, or maybe they just relabel the product. So all the time we need to update all the information. Even the blend sometimes can change.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, you, from your perspective, big data is kind of the, one of the buzzwords of our time, but you are getting a lot of data, obviously, about your customers, what they're searching for, when searches maybe go wrong just due to a spelling mistake, for example, and you can correct that. But you're also getting a lot of data from the wineries. So, I mean, in your only way of monetizing that is when I go online, I select a wine, I buy it, and you're going to get a percentage. That's the business model. As well as listings,
we don't sell wine, actually, okay? That is the most important thing. Our business idea is like to be the Google of the wine.
The search.
So the search.
That's where the
as the search engine. Actually, the merchant, the active merchant, they pay us to be seen to get results, but we don't have any commission in transition about selling wine, okay? We don't sell wine. We just want to give the information. Connect. Yeah, exactly.
Connect a buyer with a seller.
Exactly. But actually, the customer, they are really important for us because all the time they give us feedback. Feedback about some misspelling, some mistakes, some even evolution in terms of the product. So are really, really important for us to, if you consider that we have 10 million of offer, it's pretty huge.
10 million wines listed?
Price offer. Okay. You consider that we have, of course, some mistakes. So we need feedback from the customer.
I've written to wines. I remember finding a couple of spelling mistakes in, I remember some Italian regions. I just write and say hi just to let you know. It's, you know, I would do that for anybody. I mean,
You need to consider that we have an excellent feedback team, that they reply promptly. But Wine Searcher is not just engine search. Even we have writer that they all the time publish great article, and that is a really the encyclopedia, I want to say, site is really, really important. But we have IT, we have graphic, they are excellent, and so it's like a business that actually we have different skill that we bring together and we deliver this excellent product.
Yeah, so a website that you can get information from in terms of education. And as you say, you don't sell anything. You just put potential buyers in contact with potential sellers.
Yeah.
And you just take a margin for helping that relationship. Or a fee. You're saying a fee, not a margin.
Yeah, actually, you need to consider that when you use our Wine Searcher tool, it can be free. Okay, but if you type and you get result, you get less result, you get certain amount of result, okay, for the free version. If you pay $100 per year, so in that case, you get all the results. So, and that is the pro version. So with the pro version, you get access to more data, to more information, and it's the complete version of Wine Searcher.
Okay, so you've got two tiers. I mean, that's quite clever because you've got potentially everybody can be involved. And if you really want to use the tool to its full, and then you pay a subscription as you would. Exactly. And I think that's the model, isn't it? A bit of free content and then the rest is subscription online. That's the future, really, isn't it? That's where we're going, whether it's photography or or whatever.
And we are really proud about our amount of data, of information that we can deliver. Because most of the time, what I want to try to explain to the people, they know us, they know how we deliver our service, but actually you need to consider that we have a big amount of information. So those amount of information are really strategic and really important for, I want to say, producer, for merchant, for consortium, association of production. Why? Because actually we can see the tendency or see how the market is going.
Trends.
And we can, and we can just give them a lot of information so we can deliver even some reports that they are really important to understand better a wine market. We deliver some reports. Those reports are really important because actually for, it depends for a winery, for a producer, for a merchant. So they have a question. They have particular question about some market and we can provide answer.
Give us a couple of examples of you know, a merchant in London is going to ask you a question about, I don't know, the Japanese market for Pomerol. Is it that specific?
Yeah, I mean, an example of, I want to say, Tenuta San Guido asked me some information about where my wine is sell, in which market, so I can provide them a report where I can see Tenuta San Guido, the size, bottle size, if it's a bottle, it's a manium, it's half bottle, whatever, which merchant, in which market, for which price after tax, and so actually Tenuta San Guido, for example, can see and can understand better when the market can be strong or when the market can be weak, and this can be for everyone, so for every producer.
And what's Tenuta San Guido's most famous wine?
Sassicaia,
yeah. So it wasn't a test. It was
No.
So I mean that is quite. I mean, it is quite useful because obviously odd formats, whether it's a double magnum, is expensive to ship. And if it gets dropped, it's very, very expensive. So you want to make sure that that particular bottle size of what is a very famous and sought after wine is going to end up in the right place. It's not going to end up in a shop.
Exactly.
Somewhere where it's going to stay there for years and years and years.
Exactly.
The wine will spoil. Nobody's going to buy it. It's a cost to everybody and it's not going anywhere. So that is pretty useful.
Yeah.
It's a great example you've given.
But even you need to understand that we can understand better, for example, where the Italian product, I want to talk in general, can be present in a market. So what is the percentage? Can be like 90% of present, 80% of present. For me, when I talk about presence, it's like at least one bottle is in a merchant store, you know? And so, and this is really important. To understand how products are in a strong or in a weak position, how you can improve. For example, for a consortium, it's important to understand where a product, for example, Franciacorta, is. No?
When you're saying a consortium, what you mean is the consortium, which is the group of producers have a body that, say, in Franciacorta, Brunello,
yeah,
it could be 100 or 300 producers, and they all pay their consortio money for marketing and advertising. And what you're saying is if they can get accurate data.
Exactly.
And just say, we paid 1,000 euros each for marketing our Brunello in Japan, for example, and there's not a single bottle of wine sold in Japan in the following year, you're going to go back to the consortia and say, listen, you're not doing your job. And that's going to say, yeah, we are, yeah. And we said, hang on, this guy's got the data from wine searching.
Exactly.
Says, we haven't sold a bottle in Japan, so something's gone wrong somewhere.
Exactly.
So that is
exactly.
Incredibly useful, isn't it?
This is really, really important. And most of the people, as I said before, they think that our services just provide prices and where you can buy. But actually, the amount of data that we actually own is really useful, important to give a lot of questions from producer, merchant.
What's your favorite kind of geeky data thing that you look for? I mean, I know that's probably not a very serious question, but I mean, what's the most sort of minute, most detailed search that you've done?
Actually, you can work in different level. For example, in a market, you can just see in that market which kind of denomination are really famous. First of all, country, after denomination. In the denomination, you can see the vintage, and for each vintage, you can go to the price. So you can work in different level, okay? So, and this is really, really important because you need to understand that in a market, you can provide and you can deliver really precise and tiny information. So, and this is up to the person actually that asked me a particular question to understand the data that I provide, actually.
So if I'm a producer and I want to know, again, a Brunello, and I want to know how Brunello is doing in, I know, South Korea, whatever.
Whatever, yeah.
And how do I get in contact with Wine Search? Obviously, I would have already been in contact with you to have my wine listed, but I mean, how do I get in contact? I just write you an email?
Yeah, you need to write us an email at our feedback, okay?
And do you suggest, listen, we would suggest you ask us to analyze this and this, or do they come to you and say, we just want to hear about our wine?
I think that the best option is just to contact us, give us roughly an idea what they want to do, and actually we can start to talk and actually build exactly the ideal report that they need, because actually every report is not a standard report, but it's tailored, it's designed,
it's
specific for the questions, because it's really difficult for me to just give you and provide specific example, because we are talking about a lot of data. And so it depends what do you want to know exactly. And based on that, we need to do, in our team actually have to do a detailed research. So, and after.
But how long would that take you to, I mean, obviously you've got all the data, but you've got to try and filter through it to give it's like doing a presentation, isn't it, in front of an audience. You may know everything about Brunello, but we're just really looking for specific bits of all the data we've got on Brunello sales in Japan or wherever it is. How long does it take to prepare that? Obviously, it depends on the question, but is it easy? Is it a couple of buttons that you press and bing, the report comes out?
It's just a few hours, I want to say. It's pretty straightforward. Okay, because our database is well organized, so we can just easily pick up the information that we want. So you can understand when you go in a library and every book is perfect in every position, so it's easy for you to access to the data. It's exactly the same in our situation.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah,
it's a big library and you just know exactly which shelf.
Exactly.
Third book from the left.
Exactly.
That's where we need to be.
Exactly.
Okay,
exactly.
So you're a very friendly chap and you're kind of like a very friendly, geeky, but what you're doing actually isn't geeky, it's actually logical and very well thought out and precise.
Yeah, it's really precise. You need to understand that our wine specialists, our people are really, really, they have a really strong knowledge. They have a different background from the wine industry, of course, but they have a really good knowledge, and every year they improve knowledge because they participate to courses, so they attend events just to understand how the market is going, how the producer, what they are doing. So I'm really pleased to work with important and really knowledgeable people.
So you're saying that the people that obviously the content on Wine Searcher is people writing, your employees writing kind of articles explaining this region or this particular winery, for example. So almost it's you're sponsoring journalism as well. I know obviously it's a commercial venture, but you know, describing again Brunello, for example, and it's got this many named areas and the production is X and the altitude is Y.
We have content writer that actually they write amazing article about different topic. Most of the time I invite even producer if they are keen to tell us some nice story, unusual story. It's all the time storytelling. All the time is like really, really important. But beside that side, that actually is really, really important, we have even an encyclopedic part that describe you every denomination. Actually, there is a division country by country. In each country, the denomination, and for each denomination, we have description even for the grape variety, for the style. So this part is really important because even for the customer, for example, doesn't know anything about wine, can just simply read and can understand better what's going on and all the information that we have.
So it's a one-stop shop.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about, won't name any names, but famous websites that do list wines, and they write articles as well, and they list wines, but most of the time, as far as I understand, they are just doing that as a favour to their subscribers, because the subscribers say, right, well, you can buy this wine at Berry Brothers and Brud, for example, and here's the link, and you go to Berry Brothers. Now, whether Berry Brothers give a percentage or not, as an example, I'm just saying, I don't know, but in your case, you've definitely got that matrix worked out where a click and a purchase is good for the winery, but it's also, as you're providing the service, you're getting a fee. You're not doing it for charity. Mm-hmm. Whereas if I write an article, say I had a great Brunello called Brunello Monte, whatever it's called, someone buys it, I don't get any money because I'm not set up for that. So that's good.
Yeah.
So also, I mean, in a way, is there any sort of conflict, do you think, between, you know, you're not selling directly, but you're putting buyers in contact with sellers, conflict of interest editorially? Because there's always that worry in wine or anything where there's...
I think that for Wine Searcher, we have really transparent condition. You need to consider that the key in this, I want to compare our Wine Searcher application with Google. So actually, if you want to buy something, you are not picking the bottle from a box, so you know exactly where are you going. So there are different model in the market, our competitor, that actually they provide kind of the same service, but actually you don't know where are you buying. So, and this is really different compared to what we do, because for us, transparency is really important for the customer. Actually, we direct the customer to the wine shop, and so they exactly know. And you need to consider that every merchant has a rating. So actually, for us, it's really important that the merchant, they are selling the good product, the right product. They are selling what actually they declare. They don't do a bit and bite and switch. So for us, it's really important to give them a score, actually, that is came from a different, I want to say, elements. Okay, we have different criteria. But this, for example, is another element that we prove that actually we are working with genuine people. Okay.
So if I'm a wine merchant in London and I've got three bottles of Brunello or whatever, three bottles of Sassicaia, is it up to me? Do I have access to, I have to put my own data onto your server and to say, yeah, I've still got stock. And when those three bottles are gone, if a customer comes and Google Sassicaia London, my name won't come up because you know that I'm out of stock.
Yeah.
So I have to do that in my own office.
Yeah, because actually you provide us your list, and all the time you renew your list.
Online,
because,
obviously.
Yes, because otherwise if you don't do that, first of all, we inform you and we say, hey, we receive a feedback from the customer and actually you say that you are selling Sasikaya and actually at the moment not. So probably you need to renew your list, okay? And maybe you say, yeah, sorry, it's my fault, I need to do and thanks. But if you keep going, so this reduce your score level, so you become like a merchant that is like not reliable, I want to say.
So basically, if there are two merchants near each other in London, one block apart, they both sell Sasikaya, and one of them is very forgetful or just doesn't be bothered to update its Sasikaya levels, the other merchant's going to get the sales. And it's up to the merchant that's been a bit lazy to get with the program and to
it's really important.
Does that happen a lot though, that you got Y merchants that don't keep up their inventory on your online system?
But
are they pretty good?
No, they are really good. They are really good. As I said before, thanks even for the customer that actually they give us feedback so we can all the time have a connection with the merchant and we are sure about the service that they are provide. So that is really important. But actually we are pretty happy with the people there we are working.
Okay, so no sackings coming. All right, now final question. You go home at night, you cook yourself some dinner. What do you drink in New Zealand, New Zealand wines? What are your favourite New Zealand wines? This is the New Zealand Wine Podcast for the next 4 minutes. And then we'll get on to your Italian favourites. What do you like in New Zealand?
I love Pinot Noir. I have my favourite producer in New Zealand.
From Otago or Martin?
No, it's unusual. He's in Nelson. It's Neudorf.
Neudorf, yeah.
I love the product. But actually, in New Zealand, most of the people, when I travel overseas, they ask me about the famous Sauvignon Blanc. Actually, New Zealand is famous for that. But I would like to remind people that New Zealand is not a great producer of Sauvignon Blanc, but they have amazing Pinot Noir.
And Chardonnay as well, I think. Is
Chardonnay,
like
yes. Yeah. Pinot Gris is the new, I want to say, trend.
But that's another. That's also Nelson is famous for its Pinot Gris, isn't it?
Yes.
So Neudorf do another one of those.
Yeah.
Do you get to travel in New Zealand? Do you get to go down to Otago and places?
Yeah. I travel in a lot of wine regions, yeah.
For holiday or for research?
The first year when I moved in New Zealand, I work in Marlborough because my background is winemaking. So I work for Wheeler Hills.
You just slip that little fact in.
Yeah. It's quite unusual. I mean, it's quite funny because actually I work for a lot of year as winemaker. I start my career in Europe, in Italy. I work for 10 years for Cade Bosco in Franciacorta, and so I work pretty much for them. And I have really, really low position, like cellar hand, and year by year I improve, and I reach like the step of winemaking, and was really, really important moment for me. After that, when I moved to New Zealand in 2015, I worked for Wheeler Hills, that is pretty well known and big. Since then, I start to travel even in a wine region, meet the producers, so I know a lot of producers over there, and I visit pretty much all the wine region in New Zealand, so, and it's fantastic, no?
Yeah, it's a great place. It's obviously
We are lucky. We live in a happy places.
Yeah, it's a tiny, tiny bunch of islands in a massive ocean, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, I want to say thanks to my guest today, Angelo Minelli from winesearcher.com, who's their Italian wine specialist. Thanks for explaining all the intricacies of what appears like a fairly simple website, but what goes on behind the scenes seems very well thought out and actually quite complex, trying to marry desire for wine with the product itself. So well done you.
Thank you. Thanks.
It was really nice to meet you.
But you didn't ask me which kind of wine I love, Italian wine I love.
Right, okay. Go on.
What
right,
do you
final
think?
Question. Which wine, and you're not allowed to say Lombardy.
Oh.
You can't play for the home team. You've got to say anything but Lombardian wine. So no Franciacorta.
I love Aglianico. I love Sagrantino.
So you like strong, robust
reds? Tannin, rich in tannin.
Is that
even
a reaction to all that sparkling wine you had when you were small?
Probably, yeah, but I love this kind. Sagrantino, Aglianico, fantastic. And Tuscany, I have Morellino di Scansano.
Really?
Tiny, unusual, and...
Yeah, I mean, you've got a mix of 100% Sangiovese and then kind of Bordeaux style. What about the Bulgari? And we talk about that Sasikaya, that kind of area as well. The international style that's done really high quality. Do you like those wines?
Probably during my experience or during my life, I just shift with unusual grape variety, I want to say, or maybe not so popular. Usually I tend to go for really even in usual grape variety like Tintilla del Molise or really...
That is pretty far out.
Yeah,
well,
yeah,
what
exactly.
about white wines? Things like Verdicchio or...
I found some... I don't have a big knowledge about Verdicchio, but I taste some really good sparkling Verdicchio. Yeah. Really nice, interesting. But I like even, for example, Lazio Pecorino. Mm. So, yeah, in usual. And Vermentino, I like. And Grillo and Catarato, Sicily, fantastic products. So, and it's something I love, the local grape variety, because actually it's our identity, something that we can have, and it's something that you can't find anywhere in the world. So I go for that.
Okay, we're big fans.
Rather
of
than the big and the famous one.
Big fans of native wine grapes. You did a special section on winesearch.com.
Yeah, I'm really curious about biodynamic, natural.
We're
going to
leave that for another time.
Yeah.
So I've just done a biodynamic interview. Wherever I go, I get asked. But maybe next time you can interview me about biodynamics, because yeah. in New Zealand, where you are, it's not. You have some great biodynamic producers, but it's a little bit behind on organics. It's getting there, but
yeah.
it's a little bit behind
yeah.
still.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Thanks. Grazie.
Great to meet you.
Grazie
and,
mille.
I will try and we'll do the next one in Lombardia.
Ah, yeah, when you want. So okay. you need to consider that every couple of months I'm here. Ciao, grazie.
Ciao. Hello, thanks for tuning in to the Italian Wine Podcast. Our channels are SoundCloud, iTunes, Spotify, and Himalaya FM. We're also widely available on other podcast apps. Our official website is italianwinepodcast.com, and that's all one word. If you're using iTunes, feel free to rate the podcast or write a review. Thanks.
This podcast has been brought to you by Native Grape Odyssey. Discovering the true essence of high-quality wine from Europe. Find out more on nativegrapeodyssey.eu. Enjoy. It's from Europe.
Follow Italian Wine Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.